Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by DraftKings. We're also on Facebook Live for the first part of the show. If you want to watch the show in its entirety, go to Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. The phone number is 201-939-4513 or on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. If you want to send in your questions or comments, we'll read them during the show, of course. You can also comment on the feed on Facebook, and Lance Meadow will be monitoring that throughout the program.
Indeed.
And in the first few minutes, and we'll get to some of those comments as well. Obviously, the legal negotiating period for the NFL has been underway for a couple days now. The official beginning of free agency, when contracts can be finalized and filed with the league office, comes at 4 p.m. this afternoon. And I know this might frustrate some fans, but guys, here are the rules. Anything that's out there right now in regards to the Giants, as far as this show is concerned, since we are an official Giants program, is rumor, it's hearsay, and nothing's official and done until 4 p.m. when the Giants send any announcements out they might end up sending out. So here's what we can do. We could talk about the players. We could talk about who's available. We could talk about what's coming down the pike. Obviously, Jason Pierre-Paul announced on his Instagram page that he is returning to the Giants, so we can discuss that. And anything else going on, we can take your calls and your comments on Facebook. So the question I'm going to throw out to you guys right now, and this is in regards to perhaps the latest news that's been going on in free agency, and that's the Dolphins taking the transition tag, Lance, off of Olivier Vernon. That makes him a free agent completely. That means teams don't have to wait that five-day waiting period to give the Dolphins a chance to match, which makes him a much more valuable free agent on this market. So what front seven pass rusher or front seven player do you want the Giants to target besides the players that were on the Giants last year to bring in and bolster that unit? Comment on Facebook, hashtag Giants Chat, or give us a call at 201-939-4513. And Lance, that move, taking the transition tag off of Vernon, it's not a game changer because you didn't have to give up picks before this to get him, but it's certainly a situation where it makes him that much more attractive. And according to reports, there are a lot of teams with space that are targeting him.
Well, it gives teams a little flexibility. As you alluded to, John, if he was still under the transition tag, even if he would have signed an offer sheet with somebody, the Dolphins would have had 5 days to match that. And in this market, when it's so fluid and guys change teams one day after another, sometimes you want to have that financial flexibility in case you change your approach in free agency. So now you don't have to worry about money being locked up for 5 days. What it does for the Dolphins is it gives them the ability to gain a compensatory pick in the 2017 draft. So they're still going to get something in return. But by the way, when we're talking about a compensatory pick, the team doesn't have to give up the draft pick.
Correct.
To the Dolphins. They just get a supplemental pick when they add a few extra selections come that 2017 draft. Vernon still is going to be an attractive free agent, like you mentioned, regardless of whether or not he was given the tag or he is truly an unrestricted free agent. And right now, when you look at the landscape, John, and you threw the question off the top of the show, I mean, his name comes to mind when you think about, at least based on the reports, the pass rushers that are still out there that have an opportunity to test the market, because we saw with Von Miller, Muhammad Wilkerson, who were given the franchise tags. We've seen, obviously, Charles Johnson and Mario Williams, based on reports, decide that they are either going to return or change teams. So Vernon now all of a sudden jumps to the forefront, given his numbers with Miami. And you also have to remember, I think, a lot of teams are going to look at the fact, John, that Cameron Wake went down last season, got hurt. So Vernon became their number one pass rusher. And even with Wake down, his numbers and his productivity still stayed pretty consistent. So that's at least something to look at.
In fact, he played the best football of his career in his final eight games, and that's when he really kind of took that last step. I retweeted a interesting chart from Pro Football Focus, which tracks their, you know, their number grade for the player through 16 games, and you see the last eight games of the year, and that was after Cameron Wake went down. That's when he really kind of took off and did his thing. He wasn't necessarily playing more snaps, but without him on the field, he simply played better football. So he's a guy that's out there. He only had 7.5 sacks last year, but if you look at his pressures, you look at his hurries, quarterback hits, he was a very effective player in terms of bothering the quarterback, even if the sack numbers weren't necessarily there.
Well, and that's something that I'm sure a lot of teams are going to take a look at, because when we evaluate the pass rush, you always wonder, John, can you throw a player into your scheme and will he be just as effective as he was with the prior team? Or is he the type of pass rusher that he needs that guy opposite him to draw the attention so that he gets some favorable one-on-one matchups? But like I said, what jumped out to me about Vernon is you remove Cameron Wake from the equation. Yes, you still had Ndamukong Suh at the defensive tackle spot, but with that complimentary pass rusher on the other end, Vernon's numbers were still impressive, and that's what I think makes him a very attractive commodity. You mentioned there's a number of teams with a great deal of cap space. I'm sure he is going to get a great deal of interest all across the NFL landscape, but right now he is the big topic of discussion given the fact that the Dolphins, in case you're just joining us, determined that they are going to take away the transition tag, so there's no longer that five-day window where they're able to match any offer sheet that he received.
Absolutely, and of course, you talked about the fact that Malik Jackson, also reports are that he signed a big free agent deal, and he's heading to the Jacksonville Jaguars for one of the biggest defensive tackle contracts you can imagine. So that's a guy that's off the board, one of the top defensive linemen. There's been some movement in the defensive back market. Rumor has that the Bengals are coming close to re-signing their safety, George Aloka. There are other guys out there, obviously, still. So just things to keep an eye on as you watch us on Facebook Live and, of course, on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Lance, wanted to see if you could try to pull some of the comments off of Facebook from the Giant fans commenting on our feed here. We'll keep you on Facebook for a couple more minutes, read some of your comments, and then for the show in its entirety, you can go to Giants.com, and we'll take your calls in at 201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And then, Lance, when you start going into the back seven, the linebackers and the defensive back position, I mentioned some of the guys that are out there. At the linebacker spot, there hasn't been a ton of movement in free agency. Bruce Irvin, who's widely considered the top guy in the market, is rumored to be heading to Oakland, another team that has a lot of cap space. Danny Trevathan's name has been mentioned with a couple of other teams as well. The Bears appear to be the favorite.
Falcons,
to land
too,
him.
I believe, are in the mix.
Falcons in the mix there, too. And then the cornerback position, I think, is interesting, too. It's a premium position where guys often get a lot of money. So those things are still kind of up in the air here as the Giants try to improve a defense last year that obviously struggled.
Well, speaking of the corner position, there had been reports that Sean Smith, who's with the Kansas City Chiefs, that the Raiders may be interested in him. A lot of movement we're seeing within the AFC West. They're either taking players away from Denver, which I guess is probably a smart strategy.
Or given, Kansas City.
Yes, or Kansas City or Oakland and so forth. So a lot of movement within the division, which is something that you don't see very often when you look at the market. You threw out the linebacker position, and with Bruce Irvin reportedly coming to an agreement with the Oakland Raiders, John, you know, I think this extends to a big picture type of conversation when you look at the NFL landscape, and that is, if you remember when the Seahawks went to back-to-back Super Bowls, and what they did so effectively is they got a lot of investments out of their late-round picks, and everybody was talking about, well, when these rookie contracts expire, it's going to be very difficult for them to re-sign everybody. I think we're starting to see that all of a sudden these key selections, their rookie contracts are expiring, so now Seattle has to determine, who do we invest in? Who do we re-sign? Who do we let go? And we're seeing a little bit every year, if you noticed. The Super Bowl MVP at the linebacker, Malcolm Smith. He went to the Raiders following the Super Bowl. Bruce Irvin now. You know, Maxwell went to the Eagles. You have to make those sacrifices. It's impossible to keep everybody.
And it looks like after originally that the Eagles and Dolphins trade might not go through. There was worried about Byron Maxwell's shoulder and area, word has it, he couldn't do like push-ups and things like that and bench press, but at least Byron Maxwell's agent tweeted out that it looks like he got cleared and that trade's going to go through. And I thought it was interesting, the draft pick swap that the report is going to happen with that deal.
The fourth rounders.
They're swapping, first-round picks. The 13th overall pick for the 8th overall pick is what I saw.
Well, I also read about a fourth-round swap in terms of the Eagles moving up, as well as that may be involved in the DeMarco Murray trade. That's what it is.
Okay.
Because remember, there are two transactions that the Eagles made.
Correct.
In the Tennessee one, they're swapping fourth-round picks.
And they're
with the Maxwell
once.
One you're talking about, that involves a different round.
Which is, I think, a great move for the Eagles. They get a couple guys with big contracts off their books, and they get to swap draft picks as well. To me, that's a pretty savvy move by the Eagles there. You know, moving up from 13 to 8, there can be a difference in the quality of player if you want to target a specific guy at number eight.
Well, I think it also gives them some financial flexibility by getting
rid
of Maxwell and Alonzo's deal, because obviously they wanted to pursue some free agents, I'm sure. And Philadelphia, for the third straight season, John, at least based on the reports, is going to have a completely new secondary that the Giants are going to look to attack, because if you remember, you know, they had Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams, and then they went to Byron Maxwell, and they also drafted Eric Rowe.
And now, Brandon Boykin, too, and he got shipped out.
Correct. Boykin was another change, and they had Nolan Carroll that became a starter. He got hurt, so a lot of fluidity on the back end of the Eagles'
Carroll
defense.
Nolan Carroll just signed somewhere, too, I think, right? I saw a rumor that Nolan Carroll landed somewhere. Anyway, there's so many things going around here, folks. Lance, why don't you get a couple Facebook comments for me before we say goodbye?
Well, a lot of the Facebook comments, to speak in generics, has to do with go get Olivier Vernon, which is not necessarily a surprise.
No, I would
considering
think not.
What we've been talking
Correct.
About. There's also, we're getting some chatter here about the draft. People are even looking ahead with respect to free agency. I'm also seeing a lot of chatter about Tashaun Gipson, the Cleveland Browns safety that a lot of people are interested in, perhaps the Giants pursuing him. We haven't talked about the safety position in particular,
but go right ahead.
Gipson is one of the guys out there. Reggie Nelson for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Veteran.
You mentioned George Iloka, who looks like he's going to return to Cincinnati. Reggie Nelson's his teammate.
Correct.
They had two safeties that were set to hit the market. I think Reggie Nelson, Tashaun Gipson, and Eric Weddle of the San Diego Chargers. Those are the three veteran safeties that are out there when you look at that position.
You also have McLeod from the Rams, who's another guy that I know people like. That plays safety that people seem to think is pretty good. Weddle, you mentioned from the Chargers. Another guy that's out there, Eric Berry, got franchised by the Chiefs. So that's a safety spot. If you want a veteran safety, there are a number of guys out there that can fit the bill as a guy that can cover to put next to Landon Collins. So we'll see how everything plays out over the next few hours. Again, the league year starts at 4 p.m. That's when everything becomes official. Thanks for joining us on Facebook Live. The show will continue on Giants.com. Check it out. We'll begin to take your calls. Thanks for joining us. 201-939-4513. Giants.com. Call in. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. John Schmoke, Lance Mehta with you. Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekday at noon on Giants.com. Let's get it rolling. And Lance, offensively, I think a couple interesting guys went off the board here. We saw Chris Ivory, the running back, go off the board. He's heading to Tennessee. He's heading to Jacksonville, wrong AFC South team, which would make a lot of T.J. Yeldon fantasy owners upset because they wanted him to be the number one back. Now that's going to be a timeshare type of situation down there. So that was a move. I know there was some news on Lamar Miller. I don't think anything became
nothing
quite
official.
Official
I know
yet.
I saw that the Texans were the front runner, perhaps, for his services.
That's right. And Doug Martin, it looks like, might be heading back to Tampa. That was the late rumor that I heard. But, again, nothing solid on that. Brock Osweiler rumors are around. Nothing final on that. Marvin Jones, rumored to be heading to the Lions to, I guess, replace Calvin Johnson. You don't envy that.
You don't replace Calvin Johnson either.
You don't replace Calvin Johnson.
Indeed.
Exactly. So, but you know what? Golden Tate's a very good receiver. So they already have a second receiver there that can really, you know, pick up a lot of the slack. And him and Marvin Jones should be a good combination. But I haven't seen any other wide receivers come off the market quite yet. So
I have not seen anything
other
than Marvin Jones.
Antonio Gates, a tight end, back to the Chargers, it looks like. Dwayne Allen, of course, before free agency started, went back to the Colts. So we're seeing a lot of movement early. We were told stuff was going to happen early here, and you got to move quick. I think that's playing out as we've seen this negotiating period kind of carry on.
Well, and that's why they had this 48-hour period,
yes,
so that we can at least hear about all of these reports before they sign on the dotted line. One other one that I'll throw out, which is more of a running back slash fullback position, is Mike Tolbert looks like he's going to return to the Carolina Panthers to give them some depth in the backfield.
All right, if you guys give us a call, we could talk D-line, we could talk wide receivers, we can even talk secondary. We've obviously seen the rumor that's out there. If you guys want to ask us about the player, you can. We can't address it directly, so if you guys want to talk about it, you can call us. We'll chat. But again, until you do, I can't go there on my own. So 201-939-4513. Patrick in North Carolina will lead us off. Patrick, what's going on? How are you? Good morning.
Hey, guys. It's about that time again where you guys can't confirm or deny.
Well, Patrick, look, we can't confirm or deny, but we can. If you want to talk about the player, we can talk about the player.
No, I like the supposed addition to who we have added. I think it helps solidify the back end if it's true. I do think that the hole still at safety needs to be addressed, and I think that it will be. I think that the top priority still remains, even with the bringing back JPP, is to bolster the defensive line. And I think that we'll know more once the 4 o'clock rolls around and what they decide to do with Vernon. If we decide to, you know, lay down the money and bring him in, and the next person I'd go after for is Harrison, you know, put him next to Hankins. have that run stuffing defense that we haven't had here for a long time.
Yeah, Patrick, it's funny, and I just want to kind of point this out to Giant fans again, and this is something that Lance and I talk about every free agency period when, you know, Giant fans have the tendency to get frustrated when they don't get some of the players that they want. And the Giants were in a unique position this free agency period with all their money, where you can say, you know what, if they want a player, they'll have the resources to go out there and attack him and try to get him. However, there are other teams that are in that exact same situation where you can go out there and say, the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you want a guy, guess what? You're going to get him, Malik Jackson. If you're the Raiders, if you want a guy, go out and get him, a.k.a. Bruce Irvin. So there are a lot of teams now, especially with the expenditures the Giants, you know, have made reportedly, you know, based on what's out there, where there are other teams that are nearly as good of situation cap-wise. So there are other teams that can do the same. So to me, for a guy like Vernon, this is as much going to be, and Lance, please tell me if you disagree, he's going to get his money. And he'll have a choice from different teams of where he's going to get his money. This is going to be preference for him on where he wants to play, what he thinks fits, and what he wants to do, because he's going to have plenty of choices here, because there is going to be a litany of teams lining up with the checkbook.
Well, and that's what happens when you have an increase in the cap. I mean, all teams are going to gain some additional flexibility, so there's going to be a number of teams that are in the running, because I'm sure, John, there were a number of teams that were skeptical, and I brought this up before the free agent period started. If we offer him a sheet and the Dolphins take their time and they use up all 5 days, our money's locked up. And then all of a sudden, we're going to watch all of these other free agents sign elsewhere. And then if the Dolphins match the offer sheet, who are we turning to? So now all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about that. That means I think a lot of teams are going to be interested. And here's the other thing that we always talk about with respect to free agency. And I think this has been brought up with even some of the reports we're seeing. It's a two-way stream, John, when it comes to free agency. The team could be ultra aggressive in laying out an offer, and it's extremely attractive based on the reports and this and that. Then the player has to want to come to the team and want to agree to that deal. So sometimes it has nothing to do with the team not doing its due diligence to pursue that free agent. It has everything to do with the fact that the player may look at another team or another situation, or because of family and agents and this and that, as a better fit, which means it's not necessarily on the team. It's the fact that, hey, the player's got to meet them halfway. And I think there's a lot of different angles and stories to all of these reports that we're hearing about.
Well, it's just the fact that there seems to be, like, there's certain positions that are easier to fill in the draft than there's others. Defensive end seems to be kind of hit or miss over the last couple of years. We have other holes such as, like, right tackle. Right tackle is a position within the draft that you can get guys later in the rounds, and if you're Jerry Reese and you're going to take the best guy available with the number 10 pick and possibly, again, with the second-round pick, filling holes out of need seems to be better suited for free agency.
Well, yeah, obviously you want to set up your roster so when you get to the draft, you can pick the best player available. You don't want to put yourself in a situation, Patrick, and thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. I want to get to as many guys as I can today. We got full lines. You don't want to put yourself in a situation in the draft, Lance, where you're staring at your board and you say, man, we have a huge hole here, and we need to fill it in the draft.
Well, that's why you want to do your aggressive approach in free agency, where you're able to at least solidify a lot of spots, and then the draft becomes more of a supplement to what you already did in free agency, where you're adding depth for years to come, considering those players are going to be on rookie contracts, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, relying on perhaps a late-round pick to all of a sudden be thrown into the fire and it being baptism by fire, and then you need to get a starter out of that player. So, I mean, I think that's the ideal situation when you approach free agency and you approach the draft, but you can't expect to go into free agency thinking that you're going to address every single need, because the draft is so important, as I just mentioned, from a financial aspect, and what I was referencing with the Seattle Seahawks, what they were able to do when you get quality players in those fifth, sixth rounds, you know, that puts you in a very good position, John, where you don't have to be the aggressor every free agent period and try to fill all of those voids by going out and making splashes and so forth.
201-939-4513. Back to the phone. Let's go to Gary up in Saratoga Springs. He's up next. Gary, what's up, pal? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Nothing much, Gary. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, real quick, you guys can talk about this off air as I'm at work, but what's the possibility of the Giants, it's in you guys' opinion, of signing a receiver? I felt like the Giants, if they had a second receiver, we could have got a lot of holes from last year, because we just didn't have a dependent second receiver on the roster out. You know, it was Odell or bust pretty much. I feel like maybe if Eli had one more weapon, because you can't really depend on Cruz. I mean, no one knows his status. And Dwayne Harris played good in the slot, but I feel like if we had, you know, another solid receiver, then the Giants, because we scored a lot of points last year, we'll be okay. Bearing our offensive line, the offensive line wasn't that great, but we fared pretty well if you think about total points scored. And, you know, we fared pretty well with all the pieces that we had last year. But I think that's where we struggled heavy last year was, you know, outside that second receiver. We didn't have anybody. And also, I like the pick they signed, the cornerback they signed. I think they did pretty good with that. Their focus still is defensive end. If we can sign Vernon or most definitely bring back Ayers, I think you can probably get him from a reasonable price. He's already in the system. And I think they said something like he wanted to come back. So most definitely bring back Ayers. I like him a lot. If you can't sign Vernon, I mean, he's going to get to a bidding war with other teams. So most definitely bring back Ayers. And if they do happen to bring back Ayers and say they sign Vernon, I think they go a different way in the draft. I think they don't go defensive end. I think they go linebacker. But that's my opinion. What do you guys think? Is the main focus was the receiver. What do you think about, you know, a receiver coming in? Like Travis, what's his name? Benjamin.
Travis Benjamin. Yeah,
I haven't heard much about him.
Well, I just heard I don't mean to cut you off. I just heard a report, Gary, that it looks like San Diego is actually going to lock him up, at least based on some of the early conditions that were being thrown out. Then again, you know, things are very fluid right now with free agency. And, Gary, do appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. With respect to another wide receiver, I always say you can never have enough depth at just about any position when it comes to the NFL, given the injury rate and so forth. I think Dwayne Harris did a really nice job elevating his play and taking advantage of his opportunities, given the fact that he wasn't presented those opportunities in Dallas. The problem with Dwayne Harris was, you know, he was taking on so much, John, throughout this last season. The fact that, you know, you wanted him to provide his game-changing plays on special teams as well, and he did a very nice job, which has been well-documented. But, you know, I think the Giants, towards the latter part of the season, they were trying to balance things out where they don't, you know, grind him into the ground because of how many different roles he was playing. More of a reason why you could use perhaps a little bit more depth. I think there's some quality wide receivers in the draft if the Giants do choose to go there. You know, that's a possibility. And then with respect to free agency, Marvin Jones, it looks like, is going to go to the Lions. Mohamed Sanu is a name out there that I think has some versatility and would be a pretty good fit for this Giants scheme, considering he can throw, he can run,
you can play in
work
the slot.
Him into a variety of different positions, correct? I mean, outside of that, and we've talked about this a lot, John, when you looked at the free agent market at wide receiver, this class is just, there's not a lot of depth out there. I mean, that's not anything that the Giants can control. It's just the way the contracts play out. That's why Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu after Alshon Jeffery, who, of course, was given the franchise tag by the Bears, you know, that was really the top cluster of guys, and we're seeing two of them, it looks like, off the board. So, you know, Sanu, I think, is interesting because of his versatility, and the Giants do like versatility, guys that they can move in the slot, outside, and try to maximize the value and talents of that player.
And I'd be surprised if the Giants don't come out of free agency with one wide receiver coming in, a veteran, based on what's happened last year. But, and I'll say this, and Giant fans will probably lose their minds on it, but simply looking at numbers, there aren't any free agent wide receivers out there that, number-wise, are any worse than what Ruben Randle did last year in terms of career numbers and what they did last year. In fact, Randle probably had more touchdowns than any of the free agent wide receivers that are out there on the market. So you got to be careful on who you bring in to make sure he's a good fit for what you do. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Christian in Colorado's up next. Christian, what's happening, pal?
How's it going?
Doing great, Christian. What's going on, pal?
All right, I have two things. So I know we just re-signed JPP, which I'm very happy about. I'm a huge JPP fan. But with signing him, and let's just say we get Vernon later today or later this week, do you think we should go the same direction? Because Mel Kiper, I just read, got us picked in a DN first round. Do you think that we still go DN first round if we get Vernon?
I think what you would do, Christian, is that at that point you have to see what the rest of your moves are in free agency first to see if you're good at the other positions like linebacker and safety and corner. Because remember, you need three starting caliber corners in this league. So you got to make sure that's taken care of. And then on the offensive line, you got to make sure you're good at right tackle and right guard. Do you have your second wide receiver in hand? So those are things you take into consideration. Would I take a defensive end off my board? Certainly not. If you're at 10, even if you bring in a guy like Vernon and you add him to, you know, as we mentioned, JPP announced on his Instagram account that he's coming back, that if there's a really good pass rusher there at 10, we see how in demand they are. Just look at all the money these guys are getting on the free agent market. To me, if you're there at 10 and you think the best player on the board is a pass rusher, absolutely damn, you go and you draft that guy. Because you want to rotate guys in and out, I think you pick one anyway. Do you make it a priority? And, you know, do you make it, you know, pick a guy that's not your best player if he's a pass rusher? Probably not. But if your best guy on the board there at 10 is a pass rusher, I don't care who else is on your team. You take him.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And another thing, if let's say we miss on Vernon, do you attack Weddle and Gibson at safety then?
I think you attack Weddle or Gibson anyway, to be honest with you.
That's a separate
on
position.
Their price, yeah.
Yeah, you think so? With Vernon, we have that type of money?
Well, they have some financial flexibility. I mean, keep in mind, you know, when it comes to the cap, Christian, things are so fluid because you don't know the particulars of the deal. But I think the Giants entering free agency were in a very healthy position where they could be aggressive at multiple positions as opposed to if they lock up one player, then all of a sudden that flexibility will be removed.
And you can structure these contracts too, Christian, where you can have a big hit in the first year or you can have that big hit come in the second year. So you can stagger these contracts and work them the way they're set up, where a player maybe gets the most money in year one or year two, and that allows you to bring in more of the higher price guys if you choose to go that route.
And here's the other thing to take into consideration, Christian. I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks so much, Christian,
for weighing in. We had to wait to see how the safety market was going to be set, John, because nobody had signed the deal. George Iloka, to me, is the first guy that at least got a lengthy deal. So once they look at the particulars of that contract, I think he's going to set the tone of the market. 5 years, 30 was what I was hearing. So now that one safety is done, I think that at least sets the barometer for the market at that position where teams now could say, all right, if we're interested in Gibson, if we're interested in Weddle, if we're interested in Reggie Nelson, these are the types of bucks that we're going to have to cough up. But what they do at defensive end, I would agree with you, John. I really don't think that all of a sudden changes the game plan for safety because it's two different positions and you could use depth at both, and I'm sure that the Giants are going to act accordingly based
now,
on that.
Now, if you're talking about bringing in two big money defensive linemen and then trying to add a big money safety on top of that, that's when you start getting into, I'm not sure if that's going to fit under the budget type of scenario. But like Lance said, there's still plenty of flexibility out there for the Giants in terms of their payroll, including options they have in managing their roster to create more space if they have to.
The other thing I wanted to throw out, because Christian, the first part of his phone call, John, was asking about, you know, the makeup of the defensive line and, you know, how that will impact the draft. Remember, Robert Ayers and Cullen Jenkins are also free agents, John. So even if they do go out and get a few pass rushers, the Giants, for the sake of depth, I still think there's value in using your first-round pick on the defensive line. Plus, you know, I bring this up all the time. Carolina and Denver, what is the common trait between both of those teams? Rotational group of pass rushers, veterans, draft picks. You can never have enough because you keep those guys fresh. And then on top of that, what's the common trait when the Giants won their two most recent Super Bowls? Depth on the defensive line. So I think that philosophy shouldn't change regardless of what the Giants do in free agency.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. I have some questions on Facebook as well. But first, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. I want to get to a couple of these Twitter questions. Seems like a lot of people. This from Chris Fuller at CF Craft Butchery. Seems like a lot of people are upset at the quote-unquote big contracts and players being overpaid. With the inflated cap number, does overpaying for a guy mean as much as it used to?
No, because I think it's all relative based on the market. If the cap's going to go up, then the contracts are going to go up. I think too much is made of deals, in my opinion. It's the same thing with quarterbacks, John. How much do we overanalyze when a quarterback's contract comes out? And then you look at the market, 32 teams. It's a high-demand position, but it's a low-supply position.
Correct.
So you're going to have to overpay. So can't you view free agency at certain positions, John, this year the same way? For example, we were talking about wide receiver. If there's not a lot of depth at wide receiver, if that's from a generic standpoint how people are viewing the market, and you want to go after one of the top three wide receivers, you're going to have to cough up more bucks because it's low supply, high demand. So I look at the economics the same way with respect to the free agent market across the board. If there's not a great deal of depth, and the salary cap goes up, teams going to have more financial flexibility, so they're going to be willing to cough up more bucks if that's the difference between keeping and losing a player. So, I mean, I think you got to look at how the market and the economics of the salary cap overall. If everything increases, then clearly contracts are going to rise accordingly.
But at the same time, you don't want to get yourself into a deal either when in 2 years you're looking to tear the thing up and get out of it because it didn't work out.
But I always say this, the way NFL contracts are worked out, John, it seems as if they're tweaked and changed and altered year by year. You're right. I mean, you do want to give yourself wiggle room, but how many deals are reworked 2 or 3 years after the initial deal is signed? I think teams are more concerned, perhaps, and this is me speaking more in generic terms of, you know, the now. They're not necessarily thinking about, well, what is our cap going to look like, John, in 2018 and 19? When we get there, we'll make the tweaks necessary to accommodate more players and so forth.
Our buddy Elo Bajo and our buddy Mike Farmer, they want to bring in Damon Harrison. One, I think, just Harrison. I think that was Farmer. Elo Bajo wants him and Vernon. Your thoughts on Harrison, because I think it's interesting. I love him as a player. I think he's really good at what he does. He's a great run stuffer. I do think he duplicates the skill set of Jonathan Hankins a little bit. I think they play similar positions. But Harrison would certainly help you stop the run. Do you think, based on what the Giants' needs are and what they have, that would be a good use of their resources?
Well, pass rusher, I think, is priority number one, if I were to rank it. And then I would probably put safety at number two, veteran safety to be more specific in terms of a complement and added depth for Landon Collins. You know, and then you get into the mix of, you know, perhaps a linebacker and a defensive tackle. You know, right now, I think based on how the defense performed last season, you know, the Giants can be clever in how they go about their resources in addressing all aspects of this defense. I don't think it's wasted value, I guess, to answer your question, John, regardless of what position you choose to attack. But I think you also need to look at it from this perspective. How much wiggle room and confidence are they looking at in terms of some of the young guys that they brought in at that position, John? And do they want to perhaps allow that player to get more playing time? For example, a Jay Bromley. You know, do you want Jay Bromley to be your depth at this point, or do you want Jay Bromley to perhaps try to assume and go out there and win a starting job? Does that impact how you view the defensive tackle spot and where you go in free agency because of what type of opportunities you want to give your rookies? This is the other thing I'll throw out with respect to the defensive tackle spot, John. Don't you think perhaps there's more value in going after a defensive lineman that could play both positions as opposed to a guy that you know you're only going to use in the inside, given the fact of how Spags operates? Spags likes to move guys inside and out. That's why, you know, Robert Ayers, to me, he's versatile. You could put him inside, you could put him outside.
Yeah, but he had guys like Cofield and Fred Robinson that just played tackle, and he used them plenty.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if Harrison is a guy they view that they can move inside and out, then that's fine.
Yeah, but Cofield never moved outside. He was a valuable player.
Well, but I think you got to look at it that way, though, especially in this day and age of how teams operate and so forth, because depth and so forth.
But generally, run stuffers are never going to be guys that can move out the end. I mean,
well, unless they're good at getting to, but Hankins,
but he can't play defensive end.
No, he can't play defensive end, but he also is very good at getting to the quarterback.
Well, he was for 1 year.
For that first initial year.
Right.
You're right. So if you can have a defensive tackle, at least, that you know can also get pressure on the quarterback, I would assume that obviously the value increases.
Absolutely. No question about it. Bruce in West Virginia is up next. I'll get back to your tweets in a second. Bruce, what's up?
I'm just real happy that we're going to be keeping JPP around this year. I think, you know, under circumstances, he come back and prove he could be an impact player. And I really think he can still make a difference, and I'm really happy about that.
The Giants hope so, too, Bruce.
What's that?
I said the Giants hope so, too.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to talk about is Al Kamar, and I heard a little report about Norris Jenkins that maybe they might be talking to him. They're both about the same age. I think it'd be a real lucrative move with Prince not being able to stay on the field, and just hoping that move will be made.
Well, I think in terms of Janoris Jenkins, when you look at him as a player, he's been in the league 4 years. He's coming off his rookie deal, which is what you like. I think he's 27. He's a guy that's been a playmaker in the league. He has 11 interceptions. He's made plays on the ball. He has a bunch of defensive touchdowns. He's a playmaker at corner. Now, when you get a playmaker at corner, you also get a guy that takes some chances. He's going to jump some routes, and when you jump some routes, sometimes you might get bit with the double move a little bit. He's coming off the best year of his career. He showed a lot of great improvement in year four. He's a young player. He's feisty. He's physical. He's 5'10". He could play outs. He's more of an outside corner. I don't think he plays the slot. So, look, He's the reason he's one of the top corners on the market, and I think the Rams had a real tough decision to make, Lance, when they were deciding who to franchise, him or their other free agent corner.
Tremaine Johnson, yeah. Who they ultimately gave the tag to. They had to essentially choose between both of them. I mean, I would agree with your description of him. Opportunistic yeah. is probably the first word that comes to mind.
One of your favorite
considering,
words.
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite words when it comes to not just individual players, but a defense as well, trying to take away the football. So he's up there in terms of that category, and the fact that he's done it consistently, I think, is not necessarily a fluky stat. You know, if you could do it year in and year out, it says more about that player than perhaps somebody that had a breakout year where all the interceptions came in one year and then that statistic disappeared. So that at least is something that stands out about him.
And he's been on the field. He's only missed, I think, two or three games over the course of his career. So he's been pretty healthy, too, which is important.
Yeah, that's really great. He's like I say, he stayed on the field and he's been healthy, so. You know, that's really important where Alec Mara has not been able to stay on the field. And I just think it's time to move on there. But, hey, great. Let's go, Giants. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. Matthew's in Chicago. He's up next. Matt, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great, Matt. How are you, pal?
Doing good, guys. I was listening to you earlier talking about safeties, and no one has mentioned Walter Thurmond. And I know, you know, he was with us. He had some injury concerns. But last year he played all 16 games for the Eagles. They just re-signed Malcolm Jenkins, so he's even admitted that he's probably out of there. They don't have enough cap space for him. So I was just wondering what you guys would think about bringing him back for, well, you know, the right price.
Well, I think Thurmond had a great season with Philadelphia, and that was his first year at safety,
yep.
as you just alluded to, because he was a corner here with the Giants 2 years ago. He was their slot corner. Unfortunately, Thurmond got hurt. I think it was the second game of the regular season, and then he missed the majority of the year because of the pectoral injury. But he really made an impressive transition to safety last year. He was a nice complement to Malcolm Jenkins. I don't know exactly the finances of Philadelphia's cap situation. I'm sure they did gain some flexibility, as I mentioned, by parting ways with Maxwell and Alonzo. So,
and Murray.
Correct, Murray, too. So, you know, when you brought up Jenkins' contract, keep in mind, Matt, now the economics have changed for Philadelphia, which means maybe their approach of trying to re-sign him and so forth, because Jenkins got that extension before all of these moves were
yeah.
made, where Philadelphia didn't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of the cap space. But, I mean, I do think Thurmond made a nice transition from corner to safety. It depends, I guess, you know, how the Giants feel he would transition back here to that safety spot, or would they envision putting him back at corner? But, I mean, I think he's shown enough versatility based on what he did last year.
Yeah, it depends, too, Matt, what kind of raise he's looking for. I mean, is he a guy that's going to get a lot more than his 1 year, I think, what was it, $2.5 million contract last year, something like that? Is he looking for a big raise? What's the market? I think as a coverage safety, like Lance said, I thought he did a pretty good job last year, and you like a guy that in a pinch, your safety can move up and cover somebody in the slot, which I think is important in this day and age in the NFL too.
Exactly. He's a corner safety hybrid, which I think is rare. And, you know, I just think if he is still there, you know, after, you know, we've done our main moves, I think he'd be something to go after. Besides that, I was wondering if you guys had seen anything about, Farrah Cooper at South Carolina for the Gamecocks. He reminds me of an Alshon Jeffrey. Just wondering if you guys have seen him at all. You know, he might fall in the draft to the second or third round. Might be a good pickup for, you know, wide receivers.
I will put him on my list to watch him once we get through free agency. I have not taken a look at him quite yet.
I'm bringing up his particulars here. I mean, the only thing that I'm looking in terms of his numbers, you know, if you do want an Alshon Jeffrey-esque type of wide
receiver, he's only 5'11".
That's what I was going to throw out. I mean, in terms of his size, I don't know if necessarily Jeffrey is an ideal comparison. And if they're looking for that bigger presence on the outside to complement it, Odell Beckham, in terms of just his pure size and weight, I don't know necessarily if that's the ideal complement. But I'll look more into some of his video stuff as well. I mean, clearly his numbers are impressive based on what he did at South Carolina. But
and it looks
in terms
like he
of a
did,
compliment.
It looks like he did not run at the combine either. Anyway.
I just know he's big. I know Eli loves big targets because Eli sometimes throws high. And that's why, you know, Odell's so great because he can jump high and grab him. But
yeah, but he's not big.
Targets like, second, third round.
Yeah, but Matt, he's not big. He's only 5'11".
I mean, he's I don't know. He's just like, maybe he's just.
Well, he could play big. I mean, there's that old phrase. I mean, Matt, you may be referring to when you've watched him. He plays big. I mean, there are guys that just appear to be slim and not very tall, and then all of a sudden when you get him on the football field, they play bigger than their body frame. I mean, he may fit that description, but just based on the pure logistics and the numbers here, I just don't know if that's necessarily an ideal outside threat to complement Odell Beckham.
I just know that, you know, they've been going after LSU, SEC guys. So he's an SEC guy. That's why I was throwing it out there. But anyway, guys,
I hear you.
Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
No, Matt. You got it, Matt. Thanks for calling in. I like getting as many guys on my draft radar as possible. I love when you guys call and give me some names. I write them down, and I make sure I give them a look at some point when I have some extra time. 201-939-4513. I want to hit a couple more tweets here before I get back to your phone calls. Let's see. This one from Simon Soderlund. Lance, what do you think about Tayshaun Gibson from the Browns? You think he's a good fit for the Giants?
Well, I mean, I think he's done a nice job in Cleveland. The Browns secondary, I've said this time and time again, John, is probably an underrated group overall because everybody looks at the Browns' offense and doesn't necessarily take a great deal of looks at their defense. And the secondary has been impressive over the last few years. I mean, clearly they've got some good corners too, so that helps the cause. And Gibson is a versatile safety where I think you can move him around. It depends on the finances. I mean, that's going to be my answer with all of these safeties. Weddle, Gibson, those two in particular, I think are extremely attractive, especially if you're looking for a veteran safety to complement the Landon Collins. So both of them, you know, I think would be a good fit here for the New York Giants. But once again, it comes down to what they're looking for and what the market price is going to be in terms of setting for their talent. But either one, I think, would fit in here with the Giants.
Marquise Hale asked a question about the Giants' nickel corner situation. He asked about Brandon Boykin. I'm going to throw another guy into the mix there, Marquise, and that's Casey Hayward, a guy who played for the Packers and started for a while. He can play outside. He can play the slot. He's pretty good at run support. I think Casey Hayward, depending on what his price tag is going to be, is that good type of versatile corner that you can move around. He can do different things. He's been in the league. To me, that's the type of guy, Lance, that's pretty valuable when, you know, you take a look at the cornerback position and guys you think can help you in multiple ways.
Well, let's look at the Giants free agents here. Prince Amukamara is one free agent. He played on the outside. And then your other free agent was Tremaine McBride, who is in the slot. Jayron Hosley's also a free agent. So two of your three corners that are now on the market primarily played out of that slot position. So based on need alone, John, I think the Giants right now, assuming they don't bring those two players back, are going to need somebody that you can throw into the slot. That's why the previous caller who brought up Walter Thurmond, versatility is important. I would agree with you, where if you can have a guy that can move to the outside and also be brought into the slot, and I would think in this day and age having a safety. Remember, Antrell Roll was used in the slot too a lot. So having somebody who can play multiple positions is valuable, given the fact that offense is now, they're going to throw three wide receivers out there, or they're going to put a running back to the outside.
Yep.
You're going to need a third corner or a third safety on the field about 75 to 90% of the time.
Absolutely. Once you get those two cornerbacks outside set and ready to go, then you have to start worrying about the slot. So we'll see if the Giants begin to go there. 201-939-4513. Marquise, another question. Now that Coughlin's gone, will we ever hear from Ann from D.C. again? I think
trust
we all
me. I don't think we got the urge to hear from her.
In saying we hope not.
Was he trying to stir the pot here, Marquise?
Of course he is. He's having fun. It's all good. Let's see. Will, at SpainMan1991, he wants Jermaine Curse. His stats are low because the Seahawks are a running team. I think he's a young guy that has some upside. He's a more of a perimeter receiver to me than a slot guy, from what I've seen watching him play. But, you know, I think that's a young guy you can obviously take a peek at in a wide receiver class that is particularly thin. 201-939-4513. Back to the phone calls. Charlie's up in Portland, Maine. What's going on, Chuckles?
Oh,
how
boy.
Are you?
That's what
hey,
he should have asked on Twitter,
gentlemen.
Marquise, whether or not we want to hear from Charlie.
I got a quote for you.
Oh, boy. Here we go. What's your quote?
Optimism is blind to the reality of now. JR, the time is now. You can write that down, Lance, if you want.
I didn't know you were writing poetry now all of a sudden. Look at you, Mr. Renaissance Man.
What that all means to me is we can have all the optimism in the world, but this is the time that we got to actually do something. And I hope JR goes crazy. I hope he really goes after Vernon. And I mean, we need so many players. And I'm hoping that Cruz is going to get reworked before 4 p.m. or he's going to be cut, and which I wouldn't like to see because I think Cruz is on the road to a great comeback this year.
Charlie, remember this too, that if they do go down that path, to me, that's not something that has to be done now. Because remember, you can spend all your cap space now and then later on open up cap space to sign your draft picks. You don't need that money open now to sign your picks. So you can go about your business now as regular, and if you need the money later to, you know, create space to sign your picks, that's something you can do down the road. So I wouldn't worry about getting that done on a timely basis. You have time to figure that out later if you need to.
Yeah, well, it sounded like the Giants want, you know, were if you didn't take a cut before the deadline, they were going to cut him, but maybe not true.
I have no idea on that. No idea.
Yeah. Hey, the other thing I was going to say, now, it's amazing to me that all of a sudden, not that I really care, but Denver all of a sudden doesn't have a quarterback, or it looks like they're not going to have a quarterback. How about trading Nassib to the Broncos? He might be a good fit.
Why do you think the Broncos want Ryan? Why do you think the Broncos want Ryan Nassib?
Why?
Yes.
Because
he played well in two preseason games for a half.
Well, no, but you got to understand, you got Elway and you got Kubiak, who are both quarterbacks, who know quarterbacks, who study quarterbacks, and they might see that this guy Nassib is the kind of dude that they might like.
Well, yeah, they might, but they might not.
Well, Charlie, hold on.
Well, I know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, listen, Charlie, you've thrown a lot of things out there. The problem is 95% of them don't really stick sturdy on the wall, which has been well documented. But with that being said, let's run with your hypothetical here. I always like to have fun at Charlie's expense. Sell me on from the Giants' perspective, though, because if they're going to trade Ryan Nassib, they're going to get a draft pick in return, right? You just started and prefaced your phone call saying you want them to be aggressive in free agency. So how is that helping the Giants right now, shipping Ryan Nassib out of town for a draft
pick? Because, by the way, then you have to go out there and sign a backup quarterback.
Correct. So I don't understand it from the Giants' perspective, Charlie.
Well, the perspective is we only have six. Okay, we only have six draft choices because we gave one away. And we've already made a deal with Denver in the past for a punter, so we could get one of our draft picks back. That's all I'm saying. I was just throwing that out there since Denver doesn't have a quarterback now, which is totally surprising. But let me say this. Jordan, what's-his-face, said on a tweet that—
Jordan, what's-his-face? Nice.
You know who I mean, right?
I know who you mean. Jordan Renan, I'm getting.
Renan.
Oh, he's got nicknames for everybody.
Jordan, what's-his-face?
That's a good one. Yeah.
He said the Giants weren't interested in a tight end or a safety. It wasn't a priority. I think that is totally insane. I don't know. I think we need a safety. And if we're picking a cornerback, if we do get this cornerback who is a risk taker, you've got to have great safety play behind him. So I am hoping that that is not true, that it is a priority, that we go after a safety, a vet safety that can really solidify the back end of that defense. And Spags always needs a general back there in the safety position for his defense. That, to me, is a top priority, to get a, you know, get a D-tackle, get a D. Oh, the other thing, you guys, I don't understand. Like, you're always talking like we only have one defensive tackle. We don't run a 3-4. We run a 4-3. You need two defensive tackles.
Yeah, but ideally, Charlie, you want your second defensive tackle to be more of an up-the-field, penetrate-the-backfield type of guy.
Well, Hankins is that guy. He penetrates.
He can be.
The other guy needs to be a run stopper, and Harrison would be perfect.
Hey, look, Charlie, I think Harrison's a wonderful player. You're not going to hear me say anything bad about Snacks Harrison as a player, and if he winds up in the Giants, I'm not going to be upset. I just think there are higher priorities on the list.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Yeah, I think a DN is a priority. I think a safety is a priority. There's linebacker, for God's sake, linebacker is a priority. But anyway, guys, it's all going to be magic today. It's going to be magic one way or the other. But I hope JR goes crazy. I hope he goes out. I will not be upset if he goes crazy, spends the money, and if he doesn't get the right players, then so be it. But at least he's going out there not looking for mediocre. So I'd be happy with that.
Charlie wants to break the bank. Appreciate it, Chuck.
All right, Charlie.
201-939-4513. I love Charlie. Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. He's daily entertainment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The same way DraftKings is the daily fantasy sports destination.
Oh, the transition.
At DraftKings,
on this
you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Jeff in New Hampshire is up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
Not much. How you guys doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Good. So just want to talk about a couple of things that you actually can't confirm or deny. But
that's all right. We can talk about it. What do you got?
Well, the corner, Jenkins, if that rumor is true, originally in free agency, I was really hoping we'd re-sign Prince. The reason being, I didn't think we'd get anybody better for the same amount of money. But looking at it, you know, I didn't know that much about Jenkins. Now that I look at it, I think he's a solid upgrade. And if the money that's being floated out there on the internet's true, I don't think it's that much more than what we would have paid to keep Prince. So for a guy, the stat I read today, and I knew Prince had been hurt a lot. He's only played 55 out of 80 games.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was that bad. Jenkins has only missed 4 games in his 4-year career. So I think that's a solid upgrade, and I'm pretty happy about that. The money's a little high, but that's what you're going to get in free agency, so I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, Jeff, and I think what you hope, you know, when you take a look at his career arc, he played his best football last year, and you hope that's a sign of things to come, that he's going to build on that year and continue to play better and cut down on some of those mistakes that really plagued him his first 3 years in the league. Right, exactly.
Now, the one thing question I have, maybe you know better than me, the one strength about Prince was how physical he is and how good he is in the run game. How is Jenkins as a run defender? I think he's better in coverage. How is he in the run support tackling department?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me see what I can find out for you. I think that's a really good question, because you're right. That is one of the things that Prince was exceptionally good at. You know, he was physical. I think that's one of the things that hurt him when he came back from that bicep injury. It was hard for him to be quite as physical
with
the line of
yeah.
scrimmage because of that injury.
Exactly.
Average, I think. I would say about a league average corner in terms of supporting against the run. Better than Dominic Rogers Cromartie, but probably not quite as good as Prince.
To me, that's worth the trade-off. I mean, my goal would rather be have our front seven making the tackles anyway, so I think I would take a guy who's better in coverage and a little bit of a drop-off in run support, personally.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think when you look at the Giants having the worst pass defense in the league last year, you worry about coverage and you deal with the rest as it comes.
Exactly. Some of the other players that have been talked about, the Damon Harrison that you guys have talked about quite a bit,
yeah.
good player, but in my opinion, we can get a start, and I want a second tackle to pair with Hankins. I've wanted that for a while. I think we can get a starter in day 2 of the draft, second round for sure. I mean, I saw some mock drafts that have the Alabama and the Ohio State kids still there in the second round, and it's all hypothetical. But with defensive tackle being so deep in the draft, we can get a starter, like a day 1 starter, day 2 in the draft, I'm pretty sure. With the amount of holes we need, we really don't need to be spending big money on defensive tackle. You bring a guy in, a vet, league minimum for depth, for training camp, all that stuff. But Harrison shouldn't be a priority with all the other holes we have, in my opinion. I think we can handle that in the draft. Vernon, I don't know. I don't know what his money is going to be. I do know that getting JPP for $10 million for a one-year deal, I'm ecstatic about. I think that's a great deal. When I look at some of the other players out there and you look at how much money JPP really could be worth if he was 100% healthy, it's a one-year deal, so there's not a lot of risk. So if all those numbers are in fact true, I think that's an absolutely great deal.
Well, Jeff, you know, I was just going to say, you brought up the fact that, you know, you think the team could get a starter at defensive tackle in the draft. Remember, Jonathan Hankins was a second-round pick, and he turned out to be a starter. So, I mean, I think the track
exactly.
record's there for the Giants where, you know, even if the kid is not necessarily a starter year one, perhaps in year two, he could be inserted and become a full-time guy, which is
yeah.
exactly what happened with respect to Hankins.
I remember this, too. Mike Mayock said this year that he has 12 to 14 defensive tackles at first-round grade. So, I think,
right.
and you know what,
yeah.
I think you made a great point, Jeff, and I should have brought this up before when somebody asked about, you know, paying big money for a run-stopping defensive tackle. To me, that's a position you can fill in the draft based on the need, and I do think you have to not let it control your free agent decisions, but I think it has to be a factor when you're filling out your roster where you think you can go in the draft to make this team better, and then you adjust your free agent strategy accordingly.
Exactly. Yeah, Hankins, he wasn't a full
that's starter
until the second year. I'm looking for
yeah.
a starter year one. You know, we've been out of the playoffs for 4 years. I'm looking for the immediate return.
Right.
And I still think we can get that in day
yeah.
two. I really
I agree.
Do.
No question.
So,
I'm with you.
No, I'm hoping. The other thing we got to think about, you know, it's easy to get excited this time of year. Every player we're throwing out there is like a top three or top four at a position in free agency. We're not going to get a top three player at every single position. We are going to have to start looking for those good fine, those veteran pickups, those smaller
that's right.
deals.
Yep.
And then in a perfect world, yeah, sure. Just look at the free agent list. Pick a top three safety, pick a top three linebacker, pick a top three DN, pick a top three right tackle. It's not going to happen. So we, as fans, it's easy to get excited. I'm trying to do the same thing and realize not every player we're going to sign is going to be on the NFL.com top 100 player list, and that is okay. And the first thing that we'll do is, oh, why'd we sign that guy when this guy's available, that type of stuff. Trying to pump the brakes a little bit and realize there's still good finds out there, and we can still fill a lot of needs without it being the top player on the market at that particular position.
That's right, Jeff.
It's not fantasy football.
Thanks for the call, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think he makes a good point, because a guy who might not be high on one of these, you know, media lists might be considered a great fit by the coaching staff to fit what they want to do. So, you know, some guys are valued differently by people depending on what your needs are.
Well, plus, I mean, I'm not necessarily making this comparison because he joined the team late.
But you're about to.
But, no, I mean, just think about what Jasper Brinkley brought to the Giants this past season.
Well, I, somebody asked, do you want Brinkley back?
I think there is value in bringing him back, absolutely. Based on what he did, how he fit in the scheme, there's no reason why you can't have a proven veteran as one of your rotational linebackers.
Rotational linebacker, that's a key word there. All right, here we go. We got a couple other questions for you here on Twitter. Thank you to Frank Romanelli, and thank you to our man Toby Gleish. Ian Rappaport reporting that Rodney McLeod on his way to the Eagles. 5 years, 37, 17 guaranteed.
They continue to revamp that secondary.
And again, we stress these are all rumors, nothing official until 4 o'clock when the league year hits. But again, that's the second safety off the market, and now we're seeing the top safeties are in that $6 to $7 million a year type of range based on the rumored contract for McLeod and the rumored contract for Iloka heading back to the Cincinnati Bengals.
And given that, John, the fact that now you assume he's going to be paired with Jenkins, you wonder what that means for Walter Thurmond if he indeed is now going to move on.
Good point.
Since he was the other starting safety.
You're right. Or do they keep Thurmond and use him as a third corner?
Correct. Yeah.
Which you can do as well, or play that three safety lineup that the Giants have used in the past. Draft question, I guess we'll get this to real quick as well. Chris Peritore, what do you think of Ogba from Oregon State? He's one of the guys that had a great combine. He had a good 40 time, good agility tests. He's really fast. He's explosive off the edge. But to me, I will put him into the Paul Dottino tweener category. To me, he's more of a 3-4 stand-up outside rusher than a 4-3 defensive end. Let me take a look at his measurements really quick before I give you that absolutely for sure. But from what I remember, taking a look at him at the draft, at the combine rather, that's where he more came in, and that's more where he played. Let's see. Ogba checked in terms of measurements. He ran a 4.63 40, which is one of the best things at the combine. Now, you know what? I take that back. I must be confusing with somebody else on my list. But he's 6'4", 270. At 6'4", 270, he should be able to be a 4-3 defensive end in the 4-3. That's why I wanted to check that. He was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year this year. 11 sacks, 17 tackles for loss. As a sophomore, as a junior, 17.5 tackles for loss, 13 sacks. A lot of good numbers. I haven't seen him ranked that high by people in terms of being a top 10 pick. I've seen him more in the mid to late teens, early 20s. But again, if you're looking for a pass rusher, he's a guy that will certainly be on your list based on his production and his results at the combine.
In terms of the mock drafts, he's come after, you know, some of the other guys like the Noah Spences of the world and so forth that we have been hearing about, especially coming out of the combine. But, you know, once again, in terms of the Giants' draft projections, everything
we
has to finish up with free agency before you start saying, you know, this player. Plus, here's the other thing. You know, the pro days have yet to begin too, John. And that's going to obviously adjust you know, where you rank some of these guys as well. At least part of the equation.
A little bit. All right. I think that's all the tweets I have. We got the tweets today. You got any Facebook comments?
I'm looking through. I mean, there are an immense amount of Facebook
comments. I'll start going through them.
Well, I am. I mean, a lot of them, though, are just, you know, throwing out free agents here. Well, I understand that.
I gave you one job.
We have addressed a lot of these topics here. So, I mean, for the sake of repetition, I'm moving along here and reviewing a number of these different suggestions here that are being thrown
out. Okay, so while you go through, I'm going to remind fans that Big Blue Kickoff Live continues all week long. It's every day, Monday through Friday at noon until 1 hour on Giants.com. Tomorrow, it'll be Jeff Fiegels and myself, and then Friday, it's Lance Meadow and the one and only Paul Dottino. Want to remind you all, of course, that nothing is official in terms of the signings until you get to the 4 p.m. start of the league year. That's when pen gets put to paper, and any announcements these teams might want to make actually get made. And that's when everything officially begins. So as you've seen from a lot of these reports, things have been coming fast and furious. Teams have been very busy. We talked about a lot of money, not a ton of players, so guys are going to go off the market pretty darn quickly. So you got one or two there, Lance?
Yeah, well, okay, Donald here on Facebook says, why is it that Lamar Miller is not being talked about, perhaps,
for
in
the
connection
Giants?
With the Giants? Yeah.
Well, I think the Giants are happy with the guy that's going to play, you know, very happy with a guy that's going to play 30 to 40% of the snaps in Shane Vereen, who's your third down back in passing situations. He can play in first down a little bit too. I think they love him to death, and they don't need a guy to replace him. And you signed him to a contract last year. So to go out there and spend a lot of money on a top running back in free agency, I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense, especially given that you have a guy like Jennings who had a good, strong finish to the year. You have a draft pick in Andre Williams, as disappointing as last year might have been. He's there. And then you have Orleans Darkwa if you want to work him into it. So I get if you want to add a running back to compete and be in the mix, spending big money on a running back and using up a lot of your resources, I'm not sure that's an efficient way to go about your business.
Well, it goes back to the priorities in terms of where you would rank the needs, and I just would not put running back even in the top three priorities or needs for the Giants right now. I think they have depth. You know, Darkwa, you threw out. You know, he's another guy that tends to fall under the radar, and he was productive in limited opportunities there. Here's Jason on Facebook. What about James Laurinaitis? No, he's not the sexiest name out there, but look at what they did with in terms of bringing in a veteran like John Beeson and so forth until he got injured and what he brought to the team.
One of the harder names to spell on the market, though. He's a guy that's been around. He doesn't miss games, which you like. He's played in every game and every year he's
durability,
played in,
key.
Which is fantastic. From people that have watched him a lot, the reports seem to be that he's lost a step the last couple of years. He's over 30. You know, always, you know, worry about signing a guy that's over 30 years old. That's always a concern. But as a veteran guy who played for Spags, knows his system, Spags drafted him when he was in St. Louis. I think he's a guy that could be a useful player for the Giants when the time comes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
If they want to go there.
Because remember, he was released before free agency even started, so Laurinaitis could sign a minute from now and the deal could become official since
Correct.
He's a street free agent. He was let go with Chris Long. And who knows, you know, maybe right now he's exploring his options. He's also perhaps not necessarily weighing money. It's where he could get a starting job, a team that's in a position to win. Who knows? It's
and
a variety of different things.
To me, Laurinaitis is one of the second or third tier guys. He's the guy you go to if maybe you miss out on one of your top targets. So I think he's a guy that'll probably last and go a little bit further down the road.
Well, the fact that he has a connection to Spags
right.
perhaps is a last second signing, you know, that could perhaps give the Giants some type of an advantage there.
Absolutely. Guys, great work. We enjoyed it. And then tomorrow, things actually become official. So that's going to be exciting. And we don't have to be very cryptic with you. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmel. Thanks for joining us today. I'll be back tomorrow with Fiegels, Lance, and Dottino on Friday. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Remember, 4 o'clock, the league year begins. Things can become official. For all the official news, the press releases, the interviews, the quotes, you name it, go to Giants.com. You can also track free agency on our free agency page at Giants.com/free agency. So check that out. And, of course, 4 o'clock, the games officially begin. Enjoy.
Have a good one.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.